let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art, art, art.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts, proudly brought to you this June by Foolish Wit Theatre Production of A Doll's House at the Pump House. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz. Or find us on Spotify. On the show tonight, we talk music and the newts ahead of two superb productions, One Dance and One Theatre. But to kick the show off tonight, here is the latest track from musician Emerson, titled Tip of My Tongue.
It all ends the same. My love's too far away to hear my own advice. Never one for change, stuck in one place, but my heart on ice. Try to melt the memories, but they're clogging up the drain. Try to stop the feeling, but I feel it.
Was Emerson, who we've heard a lot of lately. She's definitely coming up in the ranks, isn't she, Adam?
Absolutely, she is. Yeah.
So, as you've just heard, we've got Adam in the studio with me this evening. Stephen is down the line in Tauranga, and he will probably be listening in to us tomorrow on his drive home from Tauranga.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. And anything exciting been happening in your world since I saw you last?
Oh, I'll be honest, not really. I was in on the week after. It was me and Taylor, and I talked a little about some stuff going on at work, at Widow Workshop Unleashed, which is always a bit of a fun. But since then, not so much. I've got a few things coming up, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I've just spent my weekend. I went to NYT's Suzical twice at the Aotea Centre, Friday and Saturday, because I had students split across both shows. So went to see them playing their lead roles, which was exciting. And then this afternoon, I went to the Dolphin Theatre to see London Suite, which Stephen went to a few weeks ago. Had a great afternoon. So that's four. We interviewed them, actually, and it was, yeah, so it's 4 one-act plays all set in the same hotel room or hotel suite.
Oh, yes.
So it was great. It was great to see so many actors on stage and a nice way to spend Sunday afternoon, and now we're here.
Now we are here.
And joined by the Nukes.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
two-thirds of us anyway.
Two-thirds of the nukes, yes. Well, two-thirds of the now nukes, because, of course, you started off without Josh.
That's right.
And he's joined lately.
That's right. So, my name's Dave.
And I should have said that. Welcome, Dave and Josh.
That would probably be helpful.
And originally there was myself, Ben Collier, and Dave Snapper Thiel. We had two Daves in the band originally.
Was that so confusing?
One had to get kicked out.
Wow.
That was extreme. No, we didn't kick him out, but we named him Snapper. So there was Snapper, Ben, and myself. Originally started in 2008, and so Josh was actually 8 when we started.
Were you playing the ukulele at 8, though?
I was, yeah. I had been given a uke from a dear family friend a couple of years earlier, and Dad had also been picking me up after school and taking me along to the ukulele lessons that he was teaching. So I had little choice in the matter, but even if I had made my own choice, I think this was the one for me.
And is uke the kind of cool thing to call it rather than a ukulele?
Well, technically it's an ukulele.
An ukulele?
Ukulele.
Yeah. I'd say that's the coolest way to say
ukulele, yes. Yeah. It's a Hawaiian word because it originated in Hawaii about 150 years ago, I think. And but, you know, it's called the uke a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And how different, for our listeners that maybe don't know, how different is it from playing a guitar? Like, are the chords the same or are they different?
Very transferable. A lot more so than what you would have between a guitar and a violin or a guitar and a mandolin, absolutely. You can kind of think about the ukulele as your top four strings of a guitar, so from your D string to your E string. If you took those up and you barred on the fifth fret, that is ukulele tuning, more or less.
That's right.
So there are shapes that you can transfer from one to the other, but they won't equal the same name of the chord.
So that is similar, definitely, the guitar and the ukulele, but that's, I think, where the similarities end, because the uke is quite a different instrument to play. I noticed coming from the guitar to the uke, it needed a much softer approach. You need to be gentler with you. The lighter your touch is, actually, the more the tone comes out of the instrument. Whereas with a guitar, you can
bash it quite hard.
You can. That's right. And you get more resonance out of guitar, definitely. And the uke is more of a rhythmic instrument, I would say. Would you agree with that, Josh?
I would agree with that. But it also comes from like old school, I mean, some qualities of the ukulele. I'm thinking George Formby, you know, kind of banjolele, very old school, kind of big band, almost kind of just guitar chugging away, almost like a cymbal in a band. So holding more of a four on the floor rhythm track, yeah.
Why do you think the ukulele is so popular with young kids? Is it because it's easier to play or smaller than a guitar? Is that why it's easier in a classroom?
I worked at the rock shop, so I can speak from a little bit of a sales point of view. people will often come in looking for the smallest nylon string guitar that they can get, and you can only get them so small before the quality of the instrument just doesn't quite, you know, equal. Ukulele is a lot more accessible, and even just strumming the open strings without any fingers on frets, that sounds enough of a sweet chord for people to, you know, engage them.
I agree. It just feels more musical, more instantly, you know.
So has the ukulele always been the instrument of choice for the nukes?
It has been.
So all three of you play it?
Well, that's right. It started as a bit of a laugh, to be honest with you. Completely by accident, Snapper is a bit of a raconteur, very funny person, and he was hosting an event that I was involved with, and he said, you know, during my emceeing, I'll play a song on the ukulele. And at that time, I just started teaching it at, because I'm a primary school teacher, I just started to teach with it. And so I said, well, I might get up and join you. And around about that time, I saw Ben Collier playing some blisteringly good ukulele. I thought, wow, that is the best uke playing I've ever heard. I wonder if he'd join the band. Well, we didn't actually have a band at this stage. Would he join us on stage? And he agreed to, and it was just, you know, it was fun just making it ukes rather than opening it out, oh, I'll play guitar, I'll play drums or whatever. The challenge was, can we write music, can we perform music just on the ukulele? And, well, here we are, we're now 2025, and we started in 2008. So, you know, it's a lot of
17 years.
Quick
mess. War.
And if we've made it musical enough, I guess, funny enough and entertaining enough to sustain, you know, performing and writing and recording songs over a 17-year period. And now Josh is in the band. So it's a joy for me to have Josh, you know, working with us. And, well, you know, the song that we're going to play, Max the Musical Mosquito, which is a kid's song, and it's funded by the New Zealand On Air Children's Music Fund, which is fabulous. Josh was very much integral in helping to arrange the song and sort of make it the finished product that it is.
I like to poke and prod, is how I'd put it.
So tell us a little bit about who is Max? Where did this character for the song come from?
A musical mosquito?
Yeah,
well, it started off with slightly more sinister origins.
Yes, it was. Max was a mean mosquito.
Oh.
You know, looking for his next meal, basically.
Okay.
And it's, I just thought, this too obvious, you know. So, and it's not really, it didn't feel like it was a kid's song at that point. And a lot of our songs are sort of slightly tongue-in-cheek and a little bit mischievous. But
there's,
I thought, well, let's make this mosquito a musical mosquito. That buzzing is a musical instrument, and where could that go lyrically? And so that's kind of like where it springboarded from.
Beautiful. Well, should we listen to it?
Yeah, right.
Sounds good.
All right. So, do you want to introduce it? How about?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, debuting on Planet FM, it's Max the Musical Mosquito.
Love it.
Was a warm and rainy night. Conditions were ideal for that musical mosquito. He had rhythm, he had feel. He played loud enough to wake me,
buzzing all night
as he busted out his tune. I said I never paid the entry in my room.
Max the Musical Mosquito, he buzzed, he banged, he played his song for me.
He was having such a good time,
having a ball,
flying around my room. Found myself singing Max's little tune.
Musical mosquito, he
lunchtime. I was standing in his field, and the music Max was making had magical appeal. I thought that I would join him, so I strapped on my guitar, and we spent the night up jamming.
Very cool, very nice. Cool. I was singing along. So you just mentioned very quietly to Dad during that musical break, Josh, about when you do schools tours.
Mm.
So do you guys do schools tours?
We do. We go into schools.
So what does that look like?
Josh, I'll let you answer this one.
I wake up early.
Oh, no.
I'll skip forward a little bit. We will usually rock up kind of beginning of the school day, and we'll do a workshop with the uke group, if the school has a uke group, or sometimes...
And a lot do, actually.
A lot do, and also quite a few of the schools we go to are just so small that we can kind of do a bit of a workshop with just the whole school there. you know, sometimes 40, 50 people when we go that rural, which is cool. And so we'll kind of go through three or four of our songs that we'll play in the concert later on, and get them involved and getting them familiar and comfortable and confident with doing some actions, playing some chords. It's a bit of a range of stuff. And then later on, we'll do a concert in front of the whole school. We'll get the kids up. They join in. Yeah.
Whole interactive thing, you know.
That's so cool.
That's awesome. Love it. They
but
love it.
The confidence is a big one, like getting them to the level where they're confident to do the performance, and then what they get from it afterwards is super cool, you know.
So if you kind of started to rewind your history when you said that you got your first one early on.
Yeah.
What was music looking like for you? Was it a subject you took at school, or did you think this would be your career now?
It was a subject that I took at school, but it was more like I was doing music as my life, so I already had the stuff to just throw into a class to get some extra credits,
right,
which was nice and handy. A lot of the things that I got credits for in music, there are so many different areas you can get NCA credits for in terms of music as a subject. And a lot of them I was just able to take from gigging that I was already doing and that kind of stuff, like songwriting and videoing, playing in front of a crowd and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I was doing that from quite a young age.
We actually had Josh on stage with us at a very young age, guesting with the Nukes. There's a great photo that we've just uncovered over the last couple of weekends, because Josh is helping us sort out the house. We came across this fabulous photo, and Josh is on a T-chest bass, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so big that Josh is actually standing on the T-chest itself.
For those who don't know what a T-chest bass is, it's a wooden box with a basically broom handle and a piece of rope connected between the two, and you pull to get tension for the note.
Yeah, that's right. But you're supposed to stand behind the T-chest.
Like a bass.
On the box.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
So what other instruments are in your portfolio apart from the ukulele?
I play a handful of stuff. I would say more comes from a place of I've had the privilege to have so many different instruments around me from such a young age that it's more that I've developed a sense of wonder where I want to pick up whatever I can and kind of make what I can from it.
Fabulous.
I'm not so much down the theory route or, you know.
You do have a few... quite a lot more theory under your belt than I do, I think.
But it also comes from a place of figuring out what I love to hear first, and then looking deeper into it and wondering, well, what are the characteristics of this as to why I'm so interested in it, you know?
And was smoke-free ever a part of your journey, or was that more your sister's thing?
Yeah, so... Smoke for Rockquest was always the big battle of the bands thing that I looked up to all the way through my school years, and then finally got there and I had a few shots, which was awesome. It was such a massive element in terms of experience. And I made it through to national finals in my last year of high school with the band Bad Dog. That was pretty cool. We didn't win, but in our finals performance, my guitar string broke.
My
mic was turned off and our bass lead cut out. All within the first, like, 45 seconds of the first song. And the experience from that, I'm very fond of, and good character building, and...
Crikey.
That's one way to put it.
we definitely got some crowd points for it, so...
Good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what about you? Where did music start for you?
I was 13, and I won a talent contest with a friend of mine, Philip Bodus, at high school, and we weren't doing music. We did a comedy routine.
Oh.
And it went down so well, we won the competition, and the prize was $100 worth of musical equipment from Lewis E.D. And back in the day, $100 went
That's quite a long way. Yeah.
And I bought my first guitar, and my next-door neighbor was playing guitar, and he taught me a few chords, and the rest is history. So I've been playing and writing songs ever since I picked up the guitar at 13.
Because I was going to say, back then you couldn't pick up YouTube and look at tutorials on how to play, which I think is great for kids now. So many people learning how to play the guitar and ukulele by watching YouTube.
Absolutely. It's, you know, you basically get taught anything on YouTube these days. But no, that was in the distant future when I was 13.
Yeah. Mm. And how much do you use your musical skills as a classroom teacher?
I use it a lot, yeah. So it's a great tool to be able just to pick up a guitar or ukulele at any point in time in a school day. And just get the kids singing.
Mm.
Kids love singing. They love music. So it creates a very positive atmosphere in the classroom. And and also, it gets a feeling of belonging if everyone's singing together, like a waiato or something, you know. So, yeah, no, I use music a lot.
Great. Yeah. I love to hear that. I mean, I know there's a lot of teachers out there, I think, that would love to use music more, but now that it's literally been cut out of primary training, you know, what you do in your time at primary training now is incredible. Compared to what, I mean, because I'm primary trained and we did 6 months of music over the 3 years each year.
So they've actually cut it out of the training altogether?
Pretty much. They get very minimal training in any of the arts.
That seems...
something like 14 hours in the arts over the 3 years.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, even when I was back in primary school, we were still doing music lessons, like, what, 2-3 times a week or something like that?
And well, even assembly singing. I used to love assembly singing. Yep. When I'm 64 and all the good old Beatles songs and assembly time.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many positives. I mean, you're an arts program. You don't need any convincing or any arguments, but, you know, that just seems incredible to me that at a primary school level, music, it creates a sense of belonging. It's good for the spirit. It's good for the mind.
The social element as well.
The literacy element is massive, you know.
And numeracy. You know, when you think about teaching music and you're teaching fractions and everything and learning about quarter notes and half notes.
Absolutely.
You can't separate all these things. You can't just say, well, maths is its own thing separate from the rest of people's lives. Mm. Actually, you know, you have to have a more of a holistic view of these things, and the arts actually brings so much together.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Without kids really knowing it's happening, you know, it's like gamifying learning.
Mm.
You know, kids are learning, but they're enjoying the experience of the learning, and they're not even thinking about it, you know.
Yeah.
I think that music is like that.
Mm,
you know?
Mm.
There's a lot of learning going on.
Definitely. So what is your process as the Nukes for coming up with your music? I know that you, Josh, do some of the arranging, but do you have a process, or do things just happen, all of you, and you kind of get in a room and have a jam?
Who wants to answer this one? Well, mainly it's been bringing a song. And I write a lot of songs, as Josh knows. Ben is prolific with his songwriting. So it can happen all sorts of different kinds of ways. I think if you can come with a strong start, a strong idea to begin with, then you've got a good place to build from, and then it can become anything, you know. You can also jam ideas, but that does take a certain amount of time and being in the right place and the right frame of mind for that to happen.
I think one thing I've really noticed in the last couple of years, since I've been in the group as well and kind of in a slightly more analytical place, you know, with this material, a lot of, or pretty much all of the repertoire, there's some kind of story that can easily go along with the song. You know, a lot of the time I feel like people will introduce a song and it's like, oh, this is kind of about this, and then they go into it. But with every Nuke song, it's, you know, there's this storyline from this movie, and, you know, this outlines these characteristics of it. Or, you know, there's such a beautiful context to each song where that song rests. And
we're very narrative driven, I think.
Yeah. I could see a beautiful book going along with Max. Like, yeah, that would make a perfect picture book.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you think that.
Well, you should push everyone towards the music video, because we had that up and that was what I was going to play. And then
the music video is absolutely fantastic for Max.
It's awesome, yeah.
That was illustrated by Ross Payne.
Yes, Ross Payne did that. He's based in Wellington. And, yeah, he's done quite a few. He's actually just received an award today for Best Children's Music Video.
I was just going to say, 2025 Aotearoa Children's Music Awards. He must, yeah, so
He
Loopy
won it
Tunes and Michael Bush.
That's right, Loopy Tunes.
Mm.
It's his animation that has won the award, yeah. So he's created the music video for Max.
But he spent a long time on it.
Yeah, it took a while. But he was kind of doing it sort of on the side of other sort of projects that he was working on, I think. It was just, we get great funding, but, you know, for the, just the time and the skills required, often these things are more a labor of love than they are a commercial enterprise, you know. It's the same for us with our music. It's more a labor of love than a, you know.
Do you have your own recording set up, or do you go into studio? How do you go about recording your music?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I think it generally depends on where we're at with a project. Like, it's so incredible having so many tools at our disposal, especially during the brainstorming phase and really getting a solid sense of the core identity of the song.
Mm.
And like we were talking about earlier with Max as well, you know, that went through a few different lives as a song in itself. So nice to be able to record things a little bit properly, listen back, reflect, review, re-record. And then we eventually took Max and another song, These Birds, which recently came out with Turkey the Bird, another New Zealand trio. We went and recorded both of those out at Revolver Studios.
That's right.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful location. Really incredible quality and such a lovely place.
Is that the one out by Piha? No.
No, it's
no,
not.
By the way.
Yeah, it's towards South Auckland. So, Drury, I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Neat. All right. So what are the plans for the Nukes going forward? What's on the...
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. there are quite a few things on the boil. We are going to be getting out in the spring. So we're going up north. We're doing a few gigs. We've got the Turner Centre in Kerikeri, and we're what's happening there is we're working with the Turner Centre to bring a whole lot of schools to the centre, and we'll be doing workshops with the kids and doing performances for those schools, and then doing a concert later on in the evening, Whangarei, and we're also doing we're doing a Coromandel festival as well, an arts festival on the Coromandel in spring as well, in September. We've got some Christmas dates that we're lining up, and starting to get back into visiting schools as well. Things are looking quite good actually, and we are collaborating with the Garden to Table organisation. Have you heard of Garden to Table?
Yeah, that's the group that go into schools and teach kids about growing vegetables and things.
How to use them and use them in the kitchen. So you're basically growing the vegetables and then you're using them in the kitchen. It's a fantastic organisation. So they've been going for 15 years and they came to us and said, we've got a 15-year anniversary. Would you do we love what you're doing.
Mm.
Could you do a song for us to celebrate? So we've created the song. And
about planting seeds.
Well, we've taken the Nukes approach and created something a little bit different.
Cool.
So it's called Veggie Punk, and it's about you can eat your vegetables but still have attitude. And so
for some reason, as soon as you said Veggie Punk, I just thought about, you know, Big Fresh and the dancing animals that used to be there in Mount Wellington.
Oh, okay.
Don't know why. You're both looking at me blankly. You don't know what I'm talking about. You know, they're great. There used to be great, big, huge vegetables in Big Fresh in Mount Wellington.
Yes.
Then you used to walk in and they used to dance to farm music.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Mm. And this is no longer a thing?
No, it's no longer a thing.
Got it.
They were on Trade Me a few years back for someone was selling them. But they
classic.
Were giant. And they would have been perfect, actually, for your music.
Yeah. We're always looking for stage fits, you know, if anyone has any ideas, broccoli heads.
Oh, right.
That would be quite cool, broccoli,
Yeah.
Well, you need something while you're playing and going into schools, don't you?
Well, I've got recently bought some percussion and shaped like vegetables. So avocado, banana shaker.
What does is the avocado a shaker as well, or what is the avocado?
They're all shakers.
Okay, fair enough. I just know egg shakers in my day. That's all we had in the music class.
Oh, no, I've seen the old avocado banana shaker before. Yeah.
And they're actually very good sounding percussion instruments. So that's coming up soon.
Great.
So we'll start on that sometime July, August. And hopefully it will be released this year. So this is their 15th anniversary year. So we'll be working with them to record the song. We'll probably get some kids involved with this particular project, actually, and do a video for it.
How cool.
Yeah. So there's quite a lot happening.
So do you see this being something that you're going to carry on with? Like, is this all you do as a job, music, or do you have another.
That's all I do with my life.
That's all you do with your life?
That's
great.
Yes. Yeah. Nukes, it's a lovely feeling to feel like a project has had such a life before it and, you know, looks like there's such a life in front of it as well, in a completely different way than what's come before, but feels all the more solid for what has come before. You know,
very cool.
Yeah,
and really cool that you've got the family connection.
Like you said,
it's exciting for you to have that.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So, does George get involved in any kind of way, or you're
only when Dad's trying to pull an extra set of hands in to help out?
If Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But it's lovely to have very talented people, not at our disposal, but, you know, for us to use, you know, great hands in different places and... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so our listeners, if they want to find out more about you or follow you,
sure.
What's the best way to do that?
Well, what I would do is if I was going to follow the Nukes because I'm excited about what I'm hearing, I would go to our website.
Okay.
Thenukes.co.nz or just go The Nukes Ukulele or something like that, New Zealand Ukulele, you'll find us. And then all the links are on there and we'll be putting up updates on gigs that are coming up, and then there's a link to Facebook, Spotify. There are videos up there, that kind of thing. So that's where I'd go.
Fabulous. Now we've got another number to wrap our interview up. So tell us a little bit about this one. Salad Dragon.
Yeah, Salad Dragon. Well, this is about a dragon called Josie. And this is written by Ben Collier. And for some reason, Josie ended up not breathing fire.
Oh.
She very inconveniently, Josie breathes salad and coleslaw. So it's...
That is different.
Yeah. And so this tells the story of Josie trying to find a place where she would belong, basically, because... Mm. Because she was ostracized for breathing salad instead of fire. And so it's a song about sort of identity, I guess.
Turning differences into strengths.
And being okay about it, yeah.
Perfect as well. Could also be applied for your... garden to table.
That's what I was thinking. I'm just surprised it's literally about a salad dragon.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that the little picture on your has people with ukuleles as heads.
That's right.
That's different.
Nukes 3 is the album there that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for coming in on a Sunday night and sharing with us. And we look forward to, do let us know how the table goes,
yeah,
and
yeah,
everything.
Absolutely. We'll definitely keep you updated.
That would be great. And let's play the interview out with a Salad Dragon.
Oh, hello. Yes, yes, come in. Now, would you like a story? Let's see. Have I told you the one about Josie, the Salad Dragon?
Josie, the Salad Dragon.
Josie was a dragon with one mind afloat. Instead of breathing fire, she coughed up coleslaw. Oh, oh, oh. The laughing stock of all her peers. Josie had to live with taunts and jeers. Salad dragon, no one wants you here. She sought the great creator and said, please explain. Why should I settle for salad when I could have flame? Oh, he said, Josie, don't ask me, I just work here. Perhaps your talents could be used elsewhere. Don't you know there's other worlds out there?
Poor Josie, she felt awfully sad and confused. Should one's dragoness be defined by an ability to breathe fire? Josie didn't think so. The great creator hadn't been particularly helpful, but Josie thought about what he had said. Perhaps there was a place where her talent would be appreciated, and after a great deal of thought, Josie had made up her mind. She she would leave the land of dragons and search for a new home.
Josie left the land of dragons, seeking a world that valued her worth. Winged her way through realms and centuries, finally alighting on planet Earth. But there her problems began anew. For what could a poor dragon do? At last she found the perfect thing to be. International salad carrier for KFC.
And that was Salad Dragon from the Nukes. That was a great interview, wasn't it, Adam?
That was lovely. I can't believe that's literally a song about a salad dragon. I'm still a little bit surprised
by
that.
I know, that was quite different, but how cool to have different things.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Now, we've just had a big changeover. We've still got people settling down in the studio here. So, we've got two new groups come in, one dance show, one musical theatre show. So, kia ora Bridie from Atamera, how are you?
Tēnā koutou, kei te pai aho, kei te ora tonu, you're doing good.
Yeah. Great, thank you so much for coming in on a Sunday night to talk about your new exciting piece of work. And we're going to talk about that soon. And then joining us are four members of the team from Dallo Productions, The Lightning Thief, or just Lightning Thief. I can never remember if there is a "the" in front of it. So we've got Toma, who is the director. Do you want to introduce us to your team that you've brought along with you?
Of course. Thank you, Emma. With me on this mic, I've got Skylar, who is our vocal director for the show. And we also have Torva and Tag, who play two of our leads. Torva plays Grover Underwood, and Tag plays the one and only Percy Jackson.
How exciting. Well, we're going to unpack that more shortly as well.
Feel free to move the mic a little bit, guys. You don't have to lean right towards it.
Great. So let's go back to Atamera. So you are going to be out at Tupou Theatre with this debut piece. So tell us a little bit about Rongo Whakapai.
Yeah, for sure. So this show, Rongo Whakapā, is a show about a loss or a change in intimacy. And I planted the seed maybe a couple of years ago when I started looking at all these really beautiful images of hongi. In Te Ao Māori, we have that process of hongi. And it made me think about in these kind of big cities, how we're so closely packed in, but there's almost a loss of intimacy. You know, sometimes I'm sitting right next to someone on the bus and I don't even acknowledge, I don't even look at them. You know, there's that intimacy. But it's there's been such a change in that space. So that is kind of the cloaking of the work.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all Kaikanikani Māori. This is a Māori production where we're just diving into a whole lot of our tikanga, our practices, how they've changed from way back in the day to now, and then also looking forwards with our tikanga as well. Yeah.
And you've decided to put this into a 360 degrees kind of feel. So you're doing it right in the middle of the big theatre at Te Pou,
yeah. So we've kind of changed. I was really inspired because in a lot of theatres sometimes there's huge distance from the performers to the viewers, to the audience. And so to me it's kind of a re-indigenising or bringing back some of our, because in Te Ao Māori we used to have Wharetapawha, Wharetapari, which are these houses where they were of entertainment. And so I like the idea that the performers, it's almost like a gallery space and you get to choose what you look at. You know, you can sit here for a little bit, you're interested in that, then you move, you pivot, you rotate, you see a different perspective. I really like that the audience is going to be right up there with the performers and hopefully witnessing sort of what they're feeling, what emotionally they're going through, that sort of thing. So I'm hoping a really intimate experience for the audience. Yeah.
Oh, how cool. Aye. And what a perfect venue or whare to be in to perform as well.
Yeah, Te Pou, and they actually just celebrated this year 10 years, so it's incredible. There's so much spirit in that theatre, and I really feel that when we were able to rehearse there in April this year, and so it's been kind of culminating and growing over the year, this show. Yeah.
How fantastic. We're going to come back to you, but let's jump down. Tag, I'm going to ask you as Percy Jackson, tell us a little bit about the show for people that don't know anything about The Lightning Thief.
So, for me, I hadn't read the books or watched any of the movies or really been a part of any of the content until I did the show, and it's really interesting. It's a story about coming of age and identity and friendships, and all the characters go through quite different experiences and have different growths, and I think that's really interesting. My character, Percy, he's a very, I didn't know much about him, but I felt very, I think I actually have a lot of similarities with the character. He's very troubled in a way, but then has a cool journey, and I think it's interesting for young and any age of audiences to see.
Fantastic. And of course, Tova, you've had an experience with the writer of this musical.
Yes, I have. Yes, you were there, actually, weren't you?
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what it was like working with Rob in America.
Oh, it was so cool. Yeah, so this was a JTF trip back February 2024, and he was musical directing our piece from Don the Kangaroo that we were supposed to perform. And he actually, this was the first time that I'd actually heard of the Lightning Thief musical, was him talking about it and talking about using his process of writing and putting that into the perspective of musical directing the Don the Kangaroo piece. So it was really cool when I saw that the Lightning Thief auditions were going up, and I thought, wow, that's Rob's musical. That's really cool. So yeah, it's really awesome. And I'm so keen for this to start, and I know he won't see it, but I hope he knows that we're doing it on here in New Zealand.
He sure does know. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your character.
My character is Grover Underwood, so Percy's best friend, which is really cool because Tag is my brother, so playing my brother's best friend is an amazing experience. Grover is a kind of mythical creature. He's half goat, which is very interesting for me physically to think about as well.
So you've gone from playing a kangaroo to now playing a goat.
Yes.
Well, a half goat.
Yeah, lots of changes in physicality for me. Yes, so he is Percy's best friend. He's kind of like a guidance person for him. In the story, he is technically, the technical term is a satyr, and satyr are actually protectors. So he is a protector of Percy, but also has grown to love him and like have a really close relationship and friendship with him on top of that. So he follows Percy throughout the whole journey, through the whole piece. It's really cool.
Yeah. And what's it been like for the two of you who have kind of been predominantly based out on the North Shore and up in Orewa and Whangaparoa? What is it like working with a totally different group of people?
Well, for me, it's been really refreshing. I was really nervous about it at first because I'm so used to just my local theatre, which I do love, but it has been so awesome getting to know the creative team and know all the cast members as well, and just have a different circle and have a different experience with how the creative team works. And they have worked very, very hard on this show, and it shows every rehearsal, and it's been really awesome to work with them.
Yeah. Fabulous. So, Toma, how do you feel about The Lightning Thief? What made you decide to put this show up as an option?
Well, I first read the books of the Percy Jackson series, which is what the musical is adapted from, when I was 8. I was on a family holiday overseas.
I didn't realise they were that old.
What are you saying, Emma? No, I was given them as a birthday present and read all the books in the span of a 3-week holiday, and have devoured all of their content since. And I really enjoyed the musical adaptation of it. I work a lot in musical theatre and enjoy that medium. And to have a character that so many people know and love and a story brought to that stage is really interesting. When I first found out about it and mentioned it, I teach drama classes, and a whole bunch of my students from ages 5 through to 18... all of them know the story, which is so cool to be bringing something like that to life and to be able to say, hey, you know those books that you were reading last week? We're doing a show about that. Come watch.
That is very cool. Tell us a little bit about the music. What can people expect from a musical point of view?
Lots of songs that are going to get so stuck in your head. It is one of the most beautiful scores I think I've worked with. It's very, a lot of the storytelling is done not just through like the scenes, but through the music. And the first opening number introduces this is who we are, and this is what half-bloods are, and these are the Greek gods that are linked and related to the piece that we're doing, and it just sets everything up for a very seamless transition from songs to scenes.
Very cool. Tell us, Bridie, about the music in your piece. What kind of music have you used?
So we have a composer called Eden Mulholland, and he's a New Zealander. He's based over in Oz, and he's got this really cool way of working, which is quite improvisational based with the performers, with the dancers. And so we've been working collaboratively. He was here in April, and yeah, he's just an incredible musician. He kind of makes a lot of vocal sounds. He's got huge range with his voice and lots of sort of percussion as well. And it's been my first time. I've idolized him for years. I was so honored when he said yes. I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah, so it's been really cool to work with them. I've known them for a long time, but first time in a professional space, yeah, working together.
So that's quite cool. So the music has been greatly influenced by the dance, so it kind of was dance and movement first, music second?
Yeah, for sure. We had a workshop, a wananga, in the beginning of the year. He came into the second one, and he really wanted to, he comes from both sort of sides, so he likes to see the physical, what's come out, but also the why, the kind of what was the task, what was the feeling about that duet. Like, there's this really beautiful kuia and karo with this older couple, and he really wanted to know why, what they were, what they're kind of diving into when they do that piece. So yeah, he works it very emotionally and then also physically as well. Both. Yeah.
And that's kind of quite different though, to choreograph from that point of view, because quite often the music is what influences the choreography. So to go the other way, like, what are you more used to working with as the choreographer?
Yeah, I really enjoy it, because that was one of my first questions to the dancers. I kind of asked them, what do you like to work with, to task, to create? And it was a real mixed bag. I reckon like half were coming in from a really physical perspective and half really wanted an emotional kind of story or narrative. And I think that's really exciting as a choreographer, because it keeps me pivoting and adjusting to what they all need, because you know, as a dancer myself, I've done that for about 15 years, and I really like the mind side. You know, I want to know the why as opposed just to the physicality. So it's been a really cool navigating who needs what need to access their spaces.
And I think that's cool about contemporary dance too. It's that internal rhythm rather than the external music kind of keeping us in time and as a group moving together.
Yeah, and then there's like one or two sections where you get that really beautiful where we're working to the beat and it's quite satisfying to watch, but I've been careful not to overdo that. Yeah, I've kind of pushed against it a little bit as well.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your journey. What got you to being a choreographer at Atamera?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to work with them on and off for about 9 or 10 years. I graduated from New Zealand School of Dance about 13, 14 years ago, and then sort of worked in Aotearoa the whole time. So I've been working a lot with Black Grace Dance Company, New Zealand Dance Company based up in Auckland, Footnote in Wellington, Atamera, Okarika, a lot of different kind of spaces. And I think it's given me that really nice change. Every choreographer will feed me something different, you know, a new little tool to put into the kete, and this is my first full length work, so I'm really, really honoured that Atamera kind of gave me this platform. I've made a few smaller pieces, but my first full length work, so it's been a really learning but like empowering space to be in.
Yeah, that's really cool. And in regards to like doing that, what do you think makes companies like Atamera or Black Grace, etc., what is it about New Zealand dance that makes us unique? Because I think our contemporary dance is really different to contemporary dance you see around the world, right?
Yeah, total cool. I reckon it's from a real physical perspective, we have a lower centre of gravity. We have this connection. And to me, it comes from our kapahaka background with the stances. Like, there's a real connection to whenua, and that transforms, or it kind of, you can see it coming up through the lower body, so the thighs and the pelvis. And we have this really beautiful way of moving that's connected. Ki runga, but also ki raro, ki te whenua. Yeah, so that's kind of my perspective on why how we move quite differently in this side of the world.
Well, I think that's what makes us really cool in the hip hop world as well. Like, you look at when the royal family and everything get up in the competitions, and you know, going back to ID and all of those companies, you know, just how different the fusion
between our Māori moves, our Pacifica moves, and then into the American hip-hop scene. You know, we are, like, we stand out.
Yeah, and it's really, like, it feels empowering because Atamira really leans into that and encourages it. So I think as a tangata Māori, it's been really pivotal in my journey, you know, through all my physical side, but my reo, my language, you know, that just that, that's ahuru moa, a really safe space to be able to create. I feel really grateful for it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a strong history going right back, you know, with Louise and Moss and everyone from all those years ago that are still an important part of it, but not probably as hands-on now. Yeah. Very cool. So tell us, we'll switch back over to this side of the room now. Tag, have you got a favourite song from the show?
Oh, I think my favourite song is Last Day of Summer. It's the second to last song in the show, and it's kind of this pivotal moment where Percy has reached the end of his journey, but he doesn't feel fulfilled, and he's trying to understand why. And then there's this kind of plot twist, and I think it's cool, and the music is beautiful.
Cool. What about you, Tova? Have you got a favourite number?
Oh my gosh, I actually really like all the songs in the track. But to be honest, what's grown to be one of my absolute favourite songs is Good Kid. And this is one of Tag's songs, one of Percy's songs. One, he sings it so well. That's one of my favourite parts of listening to it. But also, two, it's just, it's such an awesome song. Like, the way it's written, it's so deep and emotional without it having to be a ballad, if that makes sense. Like, there's still, like, rock elements to it, but it's still such an emotional piece. I really like how that's how it's done.
Well, believe it or not, that's the one that I've actually got lined up to play.
Oh, my God.
And I have the 2017 version of Luca Padovan singing it at iTheatrics Junior Theatre Festival when it was first launched at the Junior Theatre Festival. So here is Luca singing Good Kid.
Six schools in 6 years, been kicked out of every place. Everything I ever do is wrong, never find where I belong, everybody on my case. The same old story, the same old song. Stop. Percy, that's a good one. But no one ever will take my side. All I ever do is take the fall. I swear that I'm a good kid. Guess I'm good for nothing at all. The schools in 6 years, every battle, every day. No one ever tells me that they're proud. No one asks me, Percy, how you'd like to come around and stay. All you get are bad grades and a bum. He's taken away. I swear I never stole anything. I never mean to hurt anyone. I swear that I'm a good kid. A good kid who's had a bad run. I need is one last chance to prove I'm good enough for someone. I'm good enough for someone. I'm good enough for someone. I'm good enough for someone.
Man, Luca is so cool. If Rob's listening, give Luca a shout out for us. I'm sure he won't be listening tonight, but I might download the podcast and send him to him. So anyway, we're going to go right down the other end. We're going to talk about your arts journey. So let's start with you, Tommy. You've been on before, but tell us a little bit about your arts journey.
Yes.
When you were a little boy.
I was. When Emma first met me, I was...
Tiny.
Tiny.
And playing in the orchestra.
I know. I started out as a musician.
He was a band kid.
Yes, I was a band kid. I started out as a musician playing the clarinet for some of Stephen Dallow's Kids for Drama shows. And through there was like, oh my gosh, that looks like so much fun. And jumped onto the stage. A brief period of a couple years where I tried to do both at the same time. And I can tell you it works, but it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up picking the stage for the most part. I've dipped back into the pit a few times. And then in the last few years, I've been given the opportunity to train as an assistant director. Alongside Stephen for a number of his shows, both in kids' theatre and adult community theatre. And last year I was on the show for my first directorial debut in Twisted, The Untold Story of a Royal Vizier, which is a Starkid classic, which was a lot of fun. I learnt a lot. I worked with a lot of great friends. Since then, I have directed... we did SpongeBob, the youth edition, last year with a fabulous cast of kids, which was awesome, and worked in a number of different community theatre shows before directing this one. So I've learned from a lot of great mentors, Stephen Dallow being a large part of my directing training, which I'm excited to continue a bit more next year. I've been accepted into the director's program with TAP on K Road. So I look forward to some real professional training in both film and theatre.
That's very exciting. Cool. Wow, what a journey.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I do. I just think back to how small you were when I first met you. And now you're doing these fabulous things, which is great.
Yes, very excited to work with all these fabulous people on another project.
Yeah. All right, let's... pass the mic down and let's hear your story.
Hi. My story honestly started with my parents, who are very heavily involved in all things theatre and music, doing it professionally, and that's how they met, actually, overseas in Aussie. So growing up in that sort of industry and environment heavily influenced all my after-school curriculars. I went to Kids for Drama as well with Stephen. I think the first show I worked on with Stephen and you was Peter Pan.
Wow, that is going a long way back.
So I'm like, that's crazy. And I graduated from Auckland City Theatre Academy, which was run by Janine Donnell at the time, which was an amazing experience. She was awesome to work with. And it's just stuck and I can't get rid of that itch for theatre and I'm still doing it. Still performing in it. I study acting at Unitech, which I love, and I'm really enjoying working on vocals and musical direction with Toma and his fabulous creative team on this production.
Great. Cool. Tova, tell us a little bit about your journey.
Oh, well, musical theatre has always been my biggest passion. Both our parents, Tang and I, they enjoy music. My dad really loves his music, but my mum very much got back into musical theatre after taking a break for a little while. I think it was around 2015. And watching her joy and jumping back into theatre was one of the things that, like, even though I was already kind of doing it a little bit, it just really sparked my passion even more. And I thought, wow, like, this brings so much joy to people and I should be doing it more. So I have been performing... since maybe seven. And it's been so much fun, and I've just every single year I have done a performing arts project no matter what, because it's what makes me the happiest in the world. And I just graduated from Kristen's College last year, and this year I've just been taking a gap year. I've been working, and I've also been working on musical directing as well, just keeping my passion of theatre in there. And this, I think, is actually my first, probably my only musical this year, but it's, and that's again my joy coming back into my life. And I'm hoping to actually study performing arts overseas next year and just keep pursuing that. So, yes, it's always been in my life and it always will be, I think.
I just remember when we were in lockdown, of course, Steve and I had just taken over Kick Arts when that happened, and with your family and you and your mum with your song a day that you did through lockdown, and how many songs you guys recorded was ridiculous. That's so cool to know every day we could jump on and see one of you performing something or performing together.
Yes, lots of fun.
Cool. And Tag, what about you? Was it mum's influence or what was it for you?
Yeah, I mean, considering me and Tova are siblings, we have quite similar experiences, but yeah, I mean, I fully cannot really remember a time in my life where musical theatre or music has not been a big part of it. I did my first show when I was 7, like Tova, and ever since then I have not gone a single year without doing 1 to 2 shows. I don't want to say the same thing as Tova, but unfortunately it's true that it is the one thing that it makes me so happy. And no matter if I'm in ensemble, if I'm just, you know, if I'm just watching a show, it makes me so happy to see people perform, to be a part of a team and a cast, and just, I don't know, I like seeing how happy it makes people, like audiences, seeing the joy it gives people, being able to do that. It's beautiful to me.
What's your highlight been to date, apart from Percy Jackson? Prior to Percy Jackson, what was your most favourite role that you've done or show that you've been in?
Well, in 2023, I was in a production of Be More Chill, where I played Michael, and that was my first lead role that I'd ever been, and it made me feel... It made my confidence grow a lot, because for a lot of the time, since I was never cast in roles, I didn't think that I had the skill to ever do that. But when I got that role and people were so kind, like in this show, in The Lightning Thief, the cast is so kind and so supportive. And every show that I do, it builds my confidence a little bit. But that was a show that made me feel really like I could do something, like I was good enough.
And a similar kind of genre in a way too, like the music of Be More Chill has got lots of kind of similarities to Lightning Thief, right?
Yeah, it has the same writer for the script. They have the same writer.
So that's probably why they're so similar. There we go.
George Salazar is also in both shows. George Salazar actually played Michael in Be More Chill and then played Grover for the recording. So we're really the same person, technically.
How exciting. Cool. All right, moving down the line. Brady, where did dance start for you?
Oh, I feel like I had a friend when I was really young and she did dance and I just like wanted to tag along. And then I was always into heaps of sports when I was growing up. And then because I grew up in Aipara way up north, and then I used to get these videos of like dance and just copy them. And then eventually we moved down to Whangarei and I got into like one of those kind of after school dance going and do classes. And I moved down when I was about 16 to Wellington, and then I got into the New Zealand School of Dance. And I studied for 3 years down there, and then I've kind of just made it my world ever since, and lots of contracting and travelling and floating around, and same sort of vibe in kaupapa, like the joy that it brings people, but also just the processing of human emotion, you know, like a lot of the times it's difficult for me to speak it with my words, but then my body can do the talk, you know, like, and I can express it in that way. And I would also notice the audiences sometimes, you know, they'll come out and they'll be ko taka te kapa, like the penny has dropped, something's changed for them, you know, they're thinking different about a kaupapa or an issue that's happening current time. So this dance, it's always pulled me back, right?
And do you have a highlight or from your time that, you know, really still resonates strongly with you?
Yeah, probably one that comes to mind straight away is, I can't even remember the year. It would have been about maybe 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago. We did a show, Tikitane Mahuta, and it was this incredible a performance in the Altius Theatre, and all the schools were there, and there was a kura, there was a school from way up north in Kaiwa, and it was a primary school, and at the end they just stood up, and the haka that like erupted from them was just, I'll never forget it. Yeah, just complete like chills all over my body, and the lack of embarrassment or just their pride when they stood up. Yeah, that's, yeah, nothing about the performance, but the response that came. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I had a similar experience going to a school showing of way back when, the first time they did, oh my goodness, I've just forgotten the name of it, one of Dave Armstrong's, Nusilla, the play, Dave Armstrong and Oscar Keitley's show. And there was a whole group of South Auckland schools at the showing, and just again that unapologetic response that you get from a young crowd who are really feeling it and responding is just like, wow, blown away. Toma, who do you think is, I mean, you've said already that you've got all these students that knew Percy Jackson. Is that the target audience, so young people, or who do you think is the target audience for this musical?
Well, that's a hard answer, because the answer is everybody, because there are the people that are just discovering it now, so my 7-8-year-olds that are picking up the books for the first time, through to the people in their early 20s that read the books when they were children, and then the parents of said children. My parents read the books alongside me and still enjoy it and know it. It's a family-friendly show for everyone. There's relatability for early teens. There's exciting moments and easy-to-follow storylines for younger kids. There's great, exciting humour that will catch adults and older watchers as well. And then there's lots of cool moments in there, like having stage combat on a stage, having giant puppets, things like that, that will just catch all audiences.
I don't know why, but for some reason, in my head, I've got Wizards of Waverly Place as well. Like, it has got a similar kind of thing, right? Like, you're clapping, so you're agreeing with me. You think it's got a similar vibe?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very whimsical and creative, and it's a show and a story that connects so well with generations, kind of like Wizards of Waverly Place.
And The Descendants. I mean, again,
yes!
Too. Like,
yes,
the music from The Descendants and that kind of feel, like, the characters.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the coming forth of the new generation and the next generation, and I think that's really, that connects really well to today and the new generation of, like, people our age and younger sort of stepping up in all sorts of areas, and specifically in performing arts, and going like, we're here and we're really cool, just like you guys.
Yeah.
And it's really nice.
Yeah, very cool. Now, if we were to put the famous Stevens Kick Arts recorder in the foyer at Pitt Street Theatre, Tova, what do you hope audience members would be saying as they leave the theatre after having seen the show?
Well, personally, if I watched the show, especially like Thomas said, with all the stage combat and the puppeteering and just all the awesome stuff that's going on, I would definitely would hope to hear, like, wow, that was so cool. Yeah. And I would also hope to hear, because I know there are definitely going to be a few musical theatre people coming along, speaking about how amazing the music is. And both our musical director and our vocal coach have done an amazing job at teaching us all the phenomenal harmonies that are in there as well. So I'd hope there'd be a lot of appreciation for that, because we've worked super hard on them and they sound really cool at the moment. If I'm allowed to brag, they sound great.
Very cool. Bridie, what about you? What would you like audience members to be thinking or saying as they leave the building, or would you actually prefer them to be silent because they're processing?
Yeah, I hope that their internal narrative, you know, that little voice that lots of us have, has just quietened. Maybe for an hour, you know, they've found a little bit of like a pocket of peace or intimacy. The hope is that they've looked almost like into someone's private room or like private house and just seen something quiet, calm, emotional. So yeah, maybe just a sense of presence when they're leaving, or intimacy. Yeah,
cool. Now, where are you going after this, I'm going to ask all of you, have you got plans for the rest of the year, or what's the next thing after this dance?
I'm currently in studying at Te Wānanga Takiura, Ngā Kura Kaupapa Māori, so I'm in full immersion, so I'm going to finish my studies in November, and then next year, yeah, I'll get back into performing and doing some more making, but with Atamira, they've always got lots of shows on, so I think Kamua Kamuri will have some more shows as well, but yeah, just always check them out if you're curious. They've got lots going, community classes, things like that, so there's heaps on.
Awesome. Tag, have you got any shows lined up after this?
Not at the moment, but if any auditions come up, I will gladly audition because I love it and it's what I want to do. But I am in year 12 of high school, so I have exams and things too.
And I was going to say, are you driving yet? Because that probably restricts you a little bit too for where you can audition.
Yeah, I'm not driving yet.
Oh, I just saw that. So
Torva is driving.
Torva is your taxi driver.
Indeed she is. Yeah.
Oh, it's always handy. Torva, what about you? What's the rest of the year looking like? Auditions obviously starting soon.
Yes, the auditions are opening up. I'm hoping to study in Australia next year. So auditions are opening up within the next couple of months. So that is definitely what I will be doing. I am teaching musical theatre at the moment and I am actually really, really enjoying it. And I'm loving spreading the joy to all the younger people, so that's also what I'm doing for this year, and I am trying to go to PacEnds in October as well, that competition with a solo musical theatre. I'm already going with a dance troupe, but yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Ooh. Any more musicals on stage, off stage, musical directing?
I also teach musical theatre at Dance to Dance Studios, and we've got our mid-year cabaret coming up, which will be sick, and then after that I think the next project is for Danza, the end of year showcase, which will be really fun, and then there's the Kiss for Drama Stage Antics collaboration.
Whee! On the double bill.
Which will be exciting, and I'm sure I'll get roped in some way, shape or form, whether it's this again or costumes or whatever, up in a hand.
Awesome. Toma. Much of a muchness?
Yes. Well, as Skylar mentioned, we have our mid-year cabaret with our students just a couple of weeks after we close, which is a nice way to keep it going, avoid the post-show blues. And then I'm very excited to be directing again with all my lovely students alongside Emma this time. We're going to be combining forces for a double billing, so we'll be working very intensely for our show in a week in October at the
AMT. So Tom is doing the big one, O Junior, as his direction, and my one's Newsies Junior.
So for anyone listening of between the ages of 8 and...
Well, you took it down to 7.
Oh,
between
7.
The ages of 7 and 18. That's the October school holidays. And the second week of the October school holidays at Auckland Music Theatre is where we're putting it on. So registrations are open for that. There you go, Tag and Torva.
Perfect.
There you go. So we've got a couple more minutes. So before we go to the big sell for all of you, Tom, I'm going to ask you this question. Creative New Zealand walks in the door with an open check and says, we would like you to. What would be getting you jumping out of that seat and running out the door with Creative New Zealand?
I would love the opportunity to direct something as a debut of that piece. I would love to work with a writer on something, on a big stage. Something that always excites me is moving set pieces and unique stagings of things. So when I look at pieces like Newsies and Hadestown and things like Matilda with their set pieces and the Revolve and everything like that, developing something like that and creating an experience for the first time on a stage like our Civic or Bruce Mason or down at the ASB Waterfront, that would be the dream for me.
Awesome. That sounds like
you absolutely
cool
you thing, love yeah. your moving set pieces, Toma, and take him back to SpongeBob when we.
Oh, I do. Yes, Adam was part of our crew on that as we had to. We didn't quite have the high tech, but we had a lot of wheels and several crew members to push everything around.
Yeah,
can't do it without crew members. Bridie, if you had the open check to do whatever you, what would it be? Would it be a new creation of a piece, or would it be a...
Yeah, there's been heaps of pūrako, these really ancient stories I've been learning about this year, Wānanga. And, yeah, I just think that that'd make mean stories or movies or dance pieces. You know, like we kind of watch all these TV shows about American themes or, you know, but Aotearoa has all these real rich history and stories. So I want to tell a few of those. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that would be really cool. I mean, it was quite neat. Before you guys came in, we had the Nukes in here, who are a ukulele-based New Zealand group who go into schools and things. And just even talking to them about, you know, telling histories and their story. And, you know, I think that being able to put our stories out there is just so important. Like, not looking down or anything on, you know, a musical theatre from America, etc. But imagine, you know, like Tova, you were in Dot and the Kangaroo, which was an Australian story. Where is the New Zealand musical apart from That Bloody Woman? But for youth, you know, where is the New Zealand musical? Where, you know, what are our stories? How can we bring them to life? It's so important. Yeah, that's my little rant. That's my little rant. Creative it's a New good Zealand. Rant. but a lot of it does come down to the funding, right? Like all of our dreams to do theatre, so it's so hard without the money. Like it's not cheap by the time you put in all the technical. Like you said, you had wheels and people to push.
And a lot of screws.
But imagine if you had automation and tracks on the stage and things
the
just moved.
We could do.
And a lot of people don't get taught how to apply for funding. You know, it's like the skill that almost gets forgotten. It's like, hey, that's a huge part of being a contractor. You need to learn how to put your application in and, you know, find money. Like,
yeah. And there's certain words and sentences that funders like
to hear.
Yeah, and if you don't know what they are, it's not easy. Mm. It's not easy at all. And then there's the whole thing too. So many places, if you're not an incorporated society, you can't apply for this fund, and individuals can't do this. And yeah, no, it's
the restrictions
tricky.
That go on to the funding is absolutely ridiculous. And you just wish it was a little bit more open, and that you can sort of make it easier for those people who might not be so aware to actually get in there and actually create something.
That's for sure. Right. Out of the four from Lightning Thief, who's going to sell it to our listeners? Thomas, sell away. Tell us everything we need to know.
Right. The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical, based on the hit series by Rick Riordan, coming soon to a theatre near you, Pitt Street Theatre. We open this Saturday, 5th of July, and run for 2 weeks till the end of the first week of term. 19th of July is our closing date. It's a small theatre, and we've got quite a limited run, so it will sell out fast. Make sure to get your tickets now. Ticketor.com/Dello Productions is the link.
And you can jump onto KickArt's event page and find the information there as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Emma.
Fabulous. Tell us, where can we find out more about your beautiful piece?
So you can either have a look at the Theatre Te Pō Theatre. You can also look through Atamira website. They've got both links to the tickets. It's a really intimate experience as well, so there's limited numbers because we've changed the construct. So yeah, a lot less than our traditional setting. My hope is that you will feel something, you will feel moved. There might be a change in the way you look at intimacy in your world, not just sexually, but with your friends, intimacy with the wind, with the nature. So that is my hope. I feel very honoured to present this piece. It's next Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We've got 5 performances. But yeah, come along and support if you can. Aotearoa Dance Space. So yeah, I'd be very honoured to have you there.
Fabulous. Well, thank you to all of you for coming in on a Sunday night. It's not the best weather out there, so do make sure you travel home safely. Don't forget, listeners, that you can download this podcast straight after the show and listen to it in the future. And don't forget, if you're doing something in the arts scene, whether it be making something, performing, maybe creating new work or knitting even, anything that is the art, we want to hear from you. So you can email us at info@kickarts.org.nz or check out our website. We want to hear. Big thank you to Foolish Wit, who were our sponsors for the month of June, who have got their production on at the Pump House at the moment of the Doll's House. I saw pictures of the set the other day, Adam, and it's a phenomenal set.
Oh, really?
They've used the Pump House space so well. Mm. So get along to the Pump House. There is so much happening these school holidays. Around every corner there is something. So make sure you fill up your calendar and get along to see anything And are we almost out of time, Adam, or not? How much longer have we got?
We've got a minute to kill, Emma.
Oh, I can keep talking for a minute. That's easy. So I can tell everyone what's on. I know that the Playhouse have got Into the Woods Junior happening. I think that opens this week. On Saturday night, we've got Merrily We Roll Along at Auckland Music Theatre. Of course, you can get along to see either of the shows we've talked about tonight. You can always jump on to The Theatre List. So The Theatre List is Auckland's comprehensive list that comes out on a Sunday that tells us what things are happening. So I could have jumped onto that and kind of read it, but I can just burble
She's
on
just
for
rattling,
a little bit longer.
Rattling it
yeah.
off the top of her head. It's actually, that's very, very impressive.
So we are going out with a new song from Tammy Nielsen. I always want to pronounce it differently. I don't know why. It's because it's got an I in it. And I think Nelson, but it's not. It's Nielsen.
Nielsen.
So we're going out this evening with Foolish Hearts.
Make sure you get out there and
kick some arts.
I'll work through love so true, like a cigarette. Tragedy flames with me. Like a marionette, I'm just a heart, a silly old thing you can't trust in. But is it so wrong? I don't want to be strong. I'll crumble to pieces. Fragile thing that can't bear the weight. Too much love, too much pain. I'm a dam that breaks. I'm just a heart, a silly. To crumble to pieces, find sweet relief from this foolish heart.
Don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art.